Well, I don't know. Obviously, my tenure on the court was 5 years. Whether or not during that 5 year period, different numbers, whether they're more or less on one particular phase of the law, I'm not at all clear on that. I know that myself, having had the most recent experience of sitting as a circuit court judge, would probably have been somewhat more active in the discussions, at least, concerning the application of the law or the trial of cases and the elements of the charges being specifically proven. But I can't say that there was more or less during my tenure on the court than the 5 years preceding or the 10 years before that.
To illustrate, I just happened to think of two cases that came sequentially. It had to do with, they were drug prosecutions, and they turned on the fact that one of the elements of the crime was for the accused to not be licensed, didn't have a license to do this stuff. The prosecutor, apparently, in each case, had neglected to affirm it, to just offer affirmative proof that the guy was unlicensed. And this became the basis, as I recall, for overturning. It's that kind of thing. You know, we had the guilty plea. You weren't on there during the guilty plea.
No, that was before my time.
It's that kind of thing that I'm bringing up.
Well, I think that as a general statement, I could say that we had drug cases coming before us in greater numbers than they have ever come before any previous court, just because of the nature of the times. We're talking, we've just emerged from the 60s, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, that certain attitudes that were held near and dear to the hearts of many of our citizens were being overturned by their very own children. And so there was a drug culture that was developing. We were aware of it. And some of our laws were quite draconian in their addressing the problems. That worried a number of us who had children of that relative age, you might say. And I always commented on the fact that as I got on that Supreme Court, I was sitting with my father's generation in many instances, people old enough to be my father, and they would be grandfathers of children that would be involved in the 60s sort of thing. Yet I was a parent that had a child that was of that era who graduated in 65. And I think my reaction to some of the things that were happening probably and quite reasonably would be conditioned on my own actual experiences.
Well, I think it was some very distinguished United States Supreme Court Judge Justice Cardozo, one of those, that said something about the court follows the election returns, that kind of thing.
Well, that's that famous Dooley. We don't know where he came from, but Dooley said that the court follows the election returns.
Oh, that was it. I was going to give this to Cardozo.
And that probably has a great deal of truth in it, too.
Custodial interrogation, sanity instruction, contempt, the attorney failed to appear on trial date, People versus Mattish. Is that the Mattish that later came to have some public office in Michigan?
George B. Mattish, George. I believe. He was the state employer, the office of state employer. Subsequently, that's an interesting case. I think I wrote the opinion on that. Judge Frank Szymanski of the Detroit Recorder's Court was the one that cited Mr. Mattish for not appearing in his courtroom at a particular time for a particular purpose. Although I think in reviewing the evidence of the matter, and it was very clear to all of us that this was an inadvertent error on the part of Mr. Mattish and not a contemptible act on his part towards the court. And I think the very day that that court was or that case was argued before the Supreme Court, we rendered our decision.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
In fact, I wrote the decision.
Well, you remember.
And everyone signed it. Before George Mattis arrived back in Detroit, he got his the result from the Supreme Court, which was highly unusual.
I was talking to Justice Fitzgerald the other day, though, and he recalled that in the Poletown case, you remember that, I take it, that was the big condemnation proceeding, presumably authorized by law, down in the Hamtramck area so that General Motors could get a site cleared.
That was subsequent to the time I was
on the board. Yes, but there, he was very sensitive to the fact, Justice Fitzgerald, who was in the dissenting mode, that the case was heard, and 10 days later this massive proceeding was decided. He thought that was pretty fast, but he didn't know about your case. here's another one. You remember the Detroit Police Officers Association versus City of Detroit? Was that strictly a residency dispute?
Yes.